glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hello, this is Dave Fitch, Director of Development for WAUJ and Great News Media. And we have a special guest in the house today. We have Pastor Daniel Sadaka, who is a pastor in Kenya that is here in Central Illinois this week. And he's taking the time to come in and tell us about his ministry in Kenya. And he has hours worth of incredible stories to tell, but we're going to narrow that down here today. But I'm sure you're going to want to listen to this. Everything he has told us has been very fascinating. So for this program, we're going to be talking with Pastor Daniel Sadaka. Pastor Daniel, how did you originally come to know Christ?
I am Daniel Sadaka from Kenya. I am married, a father of six children, and a pastor of Voice of God Revival Church in Kenya. So this is my story, how I came to know Jesus. When we were young, we went to a Catholic church where my father and my mom fellowshiped. We kept going in weekly and weekly, but now we just followed our parents. I never knew much about Christ. We just knew about the church. So when I grew up in 17 years, 18, I hated so much everything about Christ and about the church, and I turned into drinking alcohol and smoking a lot. One day, I got drunk so much, and I went to my bed, and I could not wake up for 3 days. My eyes turned blind, I could not see, and I slept 3 days. So nobody wanted to check on me because I was very violent when I'm drunk. I could fight with my father, fight with my mom, fight with my brothers, so everybody saw me very hostile, never wanted to associate with me. But now, in those 3 days, I was on my bed, and I could not even turn. Something happened. I tried on 3 days, sleeping on my bed. I could not see. I could only hear sounds, and these sounds were out of this world. These voices were the voices that you could not predict where they are from the earth. They were voices from outside the earth. These voices were talking, but I could not hear what they were saying in 3 days. After 3 days, I tried to wake up. My head was so heavy. I rolled on my bed and fell down. When I fall down on the floor, I begin to vomit blood. I vomited a lot of blood, and I could not see, but I could smell blood coming out of my mouth. When I was struggling, I began to understand that my spirit was leaving my body. Shortly after, I discovered we are two. Another person resembles me standing, and another one on the ground. So this one is sleeping on the floor with his stomach. Another one is standing, and we were two now. We look alike. Shortly after, a person appeared in my house dressed in white. I was shaking, and I asked him, "Who are you?" And he told me, "You don't need to know who I am. I'm a messenger. I've been sent to bring you to the one that have sent me. He wants to talk to you." And he grabbed me, and I wanted to know, "Why are we two?" And he told me, "That is your body." And he grabbed me, and we left through my roof. We went far up in the sky in a place I didn't know where we were going. We passed through some cloud, and we landed on a mountain. It was white mountain full of snow, and outside was full of mist. And when we landed on that mountain, this person that came with me disappeared. And when he disappeared, in front of me, I was asking myself, "Where am I?" And then in front of me, I saw someone else coming, and he was smiling. And when he came close, I realized in his hands there were marks, wounds in his hand and on his feet. And he came very close, and I said, "I know you. We read about you in the church, in the Sunday school." I said, "You, Jesus?" And he never answered. He smiled. What he did, he pulled off the garment he had on, and he showed me his back, and his back was full of wounds, fresh wounds. and the blood was coming out of the wounds. And he told me, Daniel, I did this because of you. And I'm the one called you, and I want to show you the things that will happen shortly after here. I was trembling. I didn't know what to do, but he told me, be of courage. And he grabbed me like somebody's going to hug you. And we flew from where we were standing, and we went in another place. Before we arrived in that place, there was a lot of noise. People were crying. Noises. People were asking for water, shouting, crying, water, water. Millions of people. And we landed on another place, like a hill. This is a different one. And he showed me that place where people were crying from. The people that were crying were in millions. I saw Africans. I saw white people. I saw every color in this world in that place. And the fire was blue. Like the fire was a sea of fire. This fire looked blue, like a glass or something. And the voice was coming out there, and the people were really crying out of this place. And he told me, no one supposed to be in that place, Daniel. He told me, no one should come in here. I did this for them, but they rejected me. And he told me, when you go back, let them know hell is real and heaven is real. And in this place, it was horrible, terrifying. Voices of creatures coming out of the same fire, and the voices of human, and the millions of people, millions and hundreds of millions, were in this place. And I was shaking because I didn't want it to stand here another minute. It sounded very bad and a horrible place. Then he grabbed me again, and we flew from that place. And we landed on another mountain, taller, far away on the east from where we went. And when we stood on that mountain again, I saw another millions of people dressed in white, surrounded by the wall. The wall looked like rainbow. It was glowing. But I could see inside, and these people were singing and dancing, and they were dressed in white, and they looked very happy. And he told me, what do you saw? And I see, I told him, those people look very happy. Can we go there? And he told me, we can't come in there, Daniel. He told me, when you came, you did not come ready. So we can't go over there. And he told me, when you go back, tell them heaven is real and hell is real. And I said, if I go to tell them about heaven and earth, what else should I tell them? He told me, tell them I am coming. And I said, like, when are you coming exactly? And he told me, look here. When he looked, there was an engraved watch in a rock, an engraved watch, and the watch was working, and the watch was showing 7 minutes to 12. And he told me, what do you see? I said, 7 minutes to 12. And he told me, in 7 minutes, I'll be coming on the earth. And I said, it is impossible, because in 7 minutes, I will not have time to tell anyone that you are coming. You will arrive there before I arrive there. And he told me, that is in my Father's heart. Go tell them, I'm coming, and I'm coming in 7 minutes. And then I understood. He told me in a very short time, because he never told me the time exactly, but he told me in 7 minutes I'll be coming on the earth. And then he grabbed me. He said, we have no time. Let's go back. And then we came back with him back in my room, in my house, through the same roof we went through. Then we landed back in the house, and he told me, go back in your body. I didn't know what happened. It was like a blink of a finger on eye. I was back in my body, and my eyes began to see again. And from that time, I became born again. And I begin preaching Jesus. It is 20 years now. I have been preaching in the villages, in the cities, on the street. I've been shouting, telling people, Jesus is real. And he's coming again. And hell is real. And heaven is real. You have to choose. You have to make a choice now. Because the Bible says, there is a way that seems right in the eyes of a man, but its end leads to death. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You choose today, where do you want to go? Because Jesus has offered and brought life. He said, I have come to give life and to give that life more abundantly. So if we choose Jesus, we will receive this life and we'll go in the right way, which is heaven. And if we don't choose the right way, that means we'll end up in a lake of fire. And hell is real, heaven is real, and Jesus is real. He died for our sin.
What an incredible experience, Daniel. I would imagine afterwards you just couldn't help but tell people about what you had seen and heard.
Yeah, I did not know much about the Bible this time. So when I woke up out of this experience, I begin to tell them what exactly I saw. I stood on the street. People are walking. I will follow them and tell them hell is real. I saw people suffering. And I could walk even to the church and tell the pastor, give me 5 minutes. I saw something. I want to tell them. Some will reject me, send me out. But others welcomed me, and I shared the experience. I told them I saw hell, I saw Jesus, and I saw heaven. Yeah.
So some people did believe that, as incredible as this story was, some people did believe you that it is all real.
Yes, some people believed it's real, and the others didn't believe it's real.
And so that has led to your ministry then. Tell us about your ministry, what you're doing nowadays.
Right now, in the last 20 years, this is what I've been doing. I'm so much passionate about souls. I'm so much passionate. My cry is to reach everybody possible, to let them know that Jesus is real, and heaven is real, and hell is real. I am passionate so much about souls. What I'm doing right now is going in the villages in Africa, preaching to the people in the villages, preaching to men and women, going in schools, in schools, in high school, in colleges, sharing with them, telling them Jesus is real. So much passionate. And my ministry is so much based on soul winning. I do so much crusades and revival meetings in the villages and cities in Africa. My passion to see everybody saved. My passion is to see hell empty and heaven full.
Wow, and you're doing this in countries other than just Kenya, too?
Yeah, yes, I'm doing a lot in East Africa. I'm doing it in Uganda, doing it in Tanzania, and I'm doing it in Kenya. So I've been doing this in Africa. Most of this I've been doing in Africa. But a few days and a few years down the line, I've been also in the U.S. That's why I'm here, too. I'm here to share this, and that's why we are sharing this on the radio, that everybody will hear this.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned something to me about the work that you've done to rescue kids off of the streets.
Yes.
That's just absolutely amazing. Tell our listeners about that.
One of my crusades, I did it in a place called Tuani, which is in Kitale town. When we did this crusade and we finished the crusade, we were going home, I and my wife. We noticed about 4 children are following us to our door. And these children say that we don't have a place to go. They said, can you give us food? And can you take us to school? Can you be our father? That's what they said, can you be our father? And I looked at my wife in the eyes and we asked them, where are you from? And they said, we sleep under the bus, an old van, school bus. And I said, how do you sleep under the bus for every day? And they said, we don't have a place to go. I said, where's your parent? All of them shared with the experience. Some of them, they don't know where their parents are. And others, they say that their father and mama died because they died from HIV, AIDS. Then now they are here. Their uncles could not want to take care of them. The uncles sent them out of their family. Even their uncles sold their father's property and sent those children out on the street. So we rescued the 4 children. The 4 children, we took them in our own house. We buy them school uniforms and we gave them books. And we gave them food, and we adopted them. But we thought we have solved a problem, but that was just an introduction because others saw these 4 going to school. They are looking nice, and now they have a place to sleep. About a week, I saw 10, more 10 come. Now we have 14 children in the house. Before you knew it, I had about 30 children in my own house. So we only had a two-bedroom house. They was sleeping in a living room. We call it sitting room. They were sleeping in a sitting room. We could put down the mattresses and they sleep there. Now, the house was now squeezed. Now the house has turned into a tiny room that you don't walk faster. You're going to step on a child or something like that. Now we decided, I and my wife, we are going to rent a house, another house bigger than this one, but we can now officially make that one a home for the children. I'm a brickmaker by profession. I come from a family of brickmakers. So I kept doing brickmaking. With the brickmaking, I sell bricks, and then I come to buy food and buy them books and buy them school uniform, and to make sure they have clean water to drink and to wash themselves and their clothes are neat and that kind of thing. These 30 children opened our eyes, and we understood now there are many children out there suffering. We came up with the idea to buy a piece of land. Because I'm a brick maker, to make bricks, it was easy for me. So someone else came and said, he gave me a land, he gave me a place. And when he gave me a place, it was a small place, but it helped so much. I built it on that. We built it on that good home for the children. It took a while, but we built it. We worked with our hands and built that house. And then we added more children. Now, as we talk to you, we have 490 children off the street we have rescued. And this one thing you need to understand, 200 or 300 children are disabled. These are children with a problem called cerebral palsy, CP, and others have hydrocephalus, which is a disease that makes a child have a big head. Water is full in the head. Hydrocephalus disease, and some of them are deaf and others are mute, others are crippled, they cannot walk completely. So 300 of them children with physical challenges, others with, call them albinos, this one with the skin condition. We have albinos and we have hydrocephalus and we have cerebral palsy. If you are listening to me and you want to see this by yourself, you can go on YouTube, type Revival and Hope for Children program. Revival and Hope for Children program. You go on YouTube, we have thousands of videos that shows what we are doing. You can go on there and see what we are doing. Right now, we have children in a high school, and we have others in a primary, and we have few in a college we have rescued. And we have 490 children we have rescued. The horrible part is this. These children are born with a physical condition or disability. Their parents run away from them. Women give birth in the hospital, and when they discover that the child has a problem, what they do is that they throw away the child or run away from the child, and they leave the child in the hospital. Now, when they do that, some give birth, deliver children in their home. And when they deliver children in their homes, they go throw away the children in a garbage or in the trash. Now, we go and find these children outside there. And sometime, you'll find wolves, animals, dogs have eaten the baby outside there. So this is what I've been doing. But we are very careful. We've been rescuing these children for a while, and that is what I've been doing.
Wow, that is incredible what you have accomplished. I can see where the experience that you had drove you to get out and tell people about what you had, and it just kind of exploded from there. That's absolutely incredible. One thing I do want to finish up with before we go is your experience probably sounds incredible and hard to believe for most people here in the United States, but that's not uncommon in Africa for you to see the power of God in somebody's life, right?
Yes. I've visited many churches around. I can tell that most of people, they want nice teachings, but they don't walk into the power of God. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, there is something that Apostle Paul said. Finally, my brethren, that's chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in higher places. Listen, my brother and my sisters, those of you who are United States of America, there is a big problem if you don't walk into the power of God. You see, Paul said, in the last days, people will have a lot talking, but having a form of godliness without the power of God. Many people in the United States don't walk in the power of the Spirit. Listen, in Africa, there is a lot of witchcraft and a lot of sorcery going on. Now, if you are a preacher, a witch will come and challenge you in person. He will just come and ask if you, a God, can do this. And you are standing in front of people. And he will challenge you. He will say, if your God can do this, I will surrender. Or he will come and tell you, you have 3 days. Either pray, cause rain in this village. He says, I have shut the rain, not to rain in this village for 1 week. Now I give you 3 days. If you don't cause the rain in this village, I'm going to send you out of this village. Now there is a challenge. The witchcraft faces you and they say they want to understand you are God. And they will come on your meeting and even they will come in your church to challenge you in person. So the reason many things you see happening in Africa, like miracles are happening, deliverance are happening. This is happening because most of the pastors are dedicated and the ministers and the church into fasting and prayers. And when we fast and pray, the power of God works with us. And anytime we pray, you begin to see things happen.
Oh, gosh. Pastor Daniel, I feel like we've just gotten the conversation started, and unfortunately, we are at the end of the program. I do want to give a shout-out to Bishop Jonathan Franklin, who brought you to our attention, and Bishop is in the studio here with us today. Thank you so much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Brother Daniel, that was absolutely incredible. If you want to help Pastor Daniel with his ministry, go to rhcp.co.ke. That's rhcp.co.ke, or email him at rhcpngo@gmail.com. Thank you and bless you,
Thank you,
Brother
so
Daniel.
Thank you so much.